Well, hey, thank you for joining me. What a great day this is. I think I said feast when I was going to break. It's actually the birthday of St. Faustina. Her feast day, of course, is October 5th. She was born on this day in the year 1905. And what a blessing from heaven she has been. She was born in a very impoverished part of Poland. And ever since she was a young child, ever since she was a little girl, her soul, her spirit, her heart, it had, I don't know, how do you describe it? I think it had a special grace. It had a mark. She had a yearning for God. It's something I think that we all had. She had an innocence and a purity and just a desire to want to be with God. Her parents, she came from a very poor religious family. Her father was very spiritual. They were peasants, and she was one of 10. She was the third, actually, of 10 children. And from the very young age, she stood out because of her love of prayer and of work and of obedience, of her sensitivity to the poor, even as a child. And when she was just 7 years old, she felt this calling to enter religious life. She, you know, that, I don't know, maybe you felt the same thing. Maybe you always knew you had to be married. Maybe you felt, and you're in religious life, that was always what you were intended to do. When she was just seven, she had this desire to enter into religious life. And she made her first Holy Communion at the age of 9, which was a profound moment for her spiritually. She had she had this heightened awareness, is the right way of maybe saying it, of the presence of Jesus, of the divinity of God within her soul. And again, she's uneducated. She had about 2-3 years of formal education, and then wanted to enter the convent, but her parents wouldn't let her do that. They needed her to help support the family. And when she was 16, she left home and went to work as a housekeeper, believe it or not, in a more wealthy home in town. And she kind of pushed down this vocation until the Lord one day at a dance appeared to her. And when he appeared to her, she saw him beaten. She saw him bloody. She saw him scourged. And the Lord said to her, he said, Helen. Her name was, she was baptized Helen. She took the official name of, you know, Faustina later. But Helen, you know, how much, you know, how long must I put up with you? And how long will you continue to put me off? Is what he said to her. And she was struck by his appearance, bloodied and beaten and just absolutely, you know, a horrible vision to see. And then the Lord says, how long am I going to put up with you? What do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord said, I want you to enter a convent. And she immediately went ahead and left for Warsaw, where the Lord said. And her journey was an interesting one. I don't have time to share it all with you, but God's providence was there along the way. She met specific people. She went to particular convents. She ended up joining the Sisters of Our Lady of Mercy. How providential is that, right? What an amazing thing. She entered the congregation on August 1st, 1925. She took the name Sister Maria Faustina. That's how she got her name. Of the Blessed Sacrament, by the way. Sister Maria Faustina of the Blessed Sacrament. So she's such a saint for our time, right? Especially during this Eucharistic revival. And she did menial work there. She was a cook, a gardener, a porter. But boy, did she grow in holiness. And of course, our resurrected Lord would appear to her, gave her this revelation of divine mercy, and gave her in particular this prayer that you and I are about to pray. And this is an anointed prayer. She was the secretary of his mercy. And she is the saint of our time. And she is a saint who promised that when she died, that her mission would not end. It would just begin. That she would continue to pull aside the veil of heaven so that you, so that me, so that, that together we would no longer offend God with our lack of trust. I think that's what so often happens, isn't it? We doubt God. Faustina did not doubt God. You should never doubt God. And she promised she would intercede. So today on her birthday, happy birthday, St. Faustina. Happy birthday. Let's trust in her promise. I mean, she's going to intercede for us today, and I'm expecting great things to come out of this chaplet. So let's pray together. Let me invite Maggie into the conversation before we pray. She's going to be sharing the mic with me. Maggie, anything you want to pray for before we begin?
Yeah. Hey, Drew. Hey. I want to pray for my friend Bernadette and her family. She texted me a picture of her newborn nephew yesterday, a beautiful little boy. She said that they're waiting for a surgery to fix a hole in his diaphragm scheduled for tomorrow. He had a bunch of little tubes in him. So I just want to lift up this new little nephew.
Let's do it. We will bring him before the Lord. I want to pray for Jack, who is in the hospital and he's in need of rehab. I got a phone call from my aunt yesterday, and these are good friends of hers. Just want to lift up Jack in particular, who, he endured a stroke, and his wife and Jack and family have really endured unbelievable hardship. It's really been quite sad what they went through. I won't share because I don't know if I should disclose what they went through, but his wife's name's Ann. And my aunt said this woman is just such a prayer warrior. The hardships that this family has gone through, they now have some special need kids, is unbelievable. I don't think I could handle what this family handles. And yet this woman handles it with extraordinary grace. So she has one more cross to carry, her husband now, in need of rehab after the stroke. And so my aunt says, could you just pray for them today? And Ann, we're praying for you. We're praying for your children. We're praying especially for Jack that he recovers. And thank you for being such a witness and exercising such trust in the goodness of our Lord and believing in his mercy. So count on our prayers. Also, a person said I called in last week with a miracle for Steve so he wouldn't have to have surgery on his foot. When I asked for continued prayers, she says he is actually scheduled for surgery tomorrow, Friday the 26th. And I just, you know, I was touched by this because this person has not given up hope yet. Barbara, thank you for that. Barbara's continuing to persist up to the 11th hour and the 59th minute. And I'm with you. God can heal, you know, as that anesthesia is being put on. Who knows, right? God can heal today in a second. Maybe God has a divine plan that we don't know, but really want to pray for this particular person. She says he's a person who has a stroke, was left blind. He's 92 years old, and she is still praying for a miracle. She says, Jesus, I trust in you. So I want to lift up some of those intentions. A lot of other ones came in and a lot of answered prayers. Tomorrow I will share some more of those on the air, but let's pray right now while we have the time to do that together. And we'll begin on this, the great birthday of St. Faustina, in the name of the Father and of the Son, know the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You expire, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. All right, we will take our first call today. This comes from Madera, California. Elaine is praying with us there. Hi, Elaine. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
You got it.
I just wanted everybody to pray for my husband. He's had Parkinson's for several years, but we just, all of a sudden, everything started happening, and now we have, he has some complications from a back surgery he had earlier this year, And then just this week, we found out he has a precancerous polyp that needs to be removed surgically. So it just is a little overwhelming, and I could use all the prayers we could get.
I'm sorry to hear that, Elaine. I'm glad you got through today, though. I'm glad you're the first call up. I think today's a special day. I know St. Faustina promised. She promised to intercede. You know, so let's pray right now. I want to pray for your husband. What was his name again?
Sam.
All right, we'll lift him up right now. We'll, you know, many people put these names down on their prayer list, Elaine, so we're going to pray for you, and we'll pray for Sam. You know, St. Faustina said, look, when my soul's in anguish, and I know you're in anguish. You love your husband. He's going through a lot. Faustina says, you know, when I'm in anguish, when I'm suffering, I think only in this way that Jesus is good, that Jesus is full of mercy. And she says, even if the ground were to give way under my feet, I would never stop trusting in him. And that's what we're called to do too. Even though the situation seems darker, even though the diagnosis might be more grim, even though the finances might be more difficult, even though it looks like the relationship is over, we all face these challenges. Even when you are in anguish, know that God is good. Jesus is good. He is overflowing. He's full of mercy. Do not stop trusting in him. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our next call comes from Joel praying in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Joel.
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to make a prayer request for the healing of my daughter, Jenny, and my 9-month-old granddaughter, Sophie, from COVID and my negative result of my COVID test. Thank you.
You got it, brother. Hang in there, okay, Joel? We're going to certainly pray for you. Lord, I give you his daughter. We pray for Jenny. We pray for his granddaughter. We pray for all those right now that are battling COVID. This is not over. Many, many people are struggling with it. I want to pray with those with long COVID, those who've lost the ability to taste, those who have that brain fog, those who have those complications. And I just, I pray, Lord, for protection over this country from degeneration, disaster, disease, especially COVID, and of course from war. And I give you all those who are ill and suffering in this moment. Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, before we go to our next call, Linda will be up next. She's in Austin. Maggie, I know you've been monitoring our Twitter account. And if you want to put your intention, it's at Drew Mariani Show. You can follow me personally at Drew Mariani. And, of course, send me your answer prayers to Drew at RelevantRadio.com. What's coming in today, Meg?
Drew, I want to lift up a prayer from a woman named Martha. She says, please pray for my daughter who's being bullied at work. There's no reason for this behavior from a healthcare provider, a healthcare professional in the organization. It's been a long 2 years of this. We're praying that God would help her in this situation. Ugh. And she asks, Drew, can you please repeat how your daughter dealt with a similar situation? She must know. Is there a story that you have told once upon a time?
There actually is.
Maybe
what ended up happening, my daughter, Andrea, was in the Marines. and she got transferred to another base. And when she got there, there was a girl who just did not like her, kind of shunned her, was absolutely mean to her, ostracized, you know, her. And my daughter, she reminds me very much of Faustina. She ended up, instead of retaliating the same way, and she had opportunities to do that because a lot of the guys in the barracks liked her, and she didn't. What she ended up doing was she went and she offered rosaries and chaplets, and she did hours of adoration for this girl. She prayed for her. She prayed that that girl would have a conversion. Not that she'd be friends, but she just prayed for that girl. And you know what ended up happening? The girl had a radical conversion. I mean, it was unbelievable. I'll have to have her call in and share her story one day.
Yeah, we should.
Because what ended up happening was that girl actually became one of her better friends.
Wow.
The two of them became fast friends in the military. So whatever that spirit of division was, or jealousy, or whatever it was, prayer conquered it. It dispelled it. It removed it. And that can happen the same way. My other advice for this caller, too, it's her daughter, right, that's having these problems?
Yes.
Take a miraculous medal or a St. Benedict medal and tape it underneath the seat of her chair at work, and then just pray for her. And don't pray for any ill. Pray for promotion or blessing, and you watch how fast she's out, how she gets moved, how she gets promoted, how she takes a new job. I hear that all of the time. So two quick things for people to consider.
Nice. Christine also wrote to us. She said, please pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet for my friend Michelle, who lives in Wisconsin and needs to be healed of COVID. She's already battling with bone marrow cancer. Please pray that the Lord will heal her of this cancer as well. Thank you, and God bless Relevant Radio. Marlon from California wrote to us asking that we pray for his mother, Sylvia, who has breast cancer and other health issues. He says that the chemo is really starting to get to her, physically and spiritually. And Elizabeth wrote to us and said, prayers for a healthy baby and that I might remain healthy. I have to have a C-section tomorrow, praying that everything goes smooth and that we have a complete and speedy recovery. Thank you.
You got it. We'll pray for that. And I want to pray for a doctor who I know who's going through a legal battle right now. And he's been really vilified, and he has just been beaten up. And the court decision yesterday did not necessarily go the way he wanted to. So it's going to be drug out a little bit longer. I'm just praying for God's mercy and that situation, his mercy can prevail. So we take all these intentions, and we'll add Linda to it as we pray our third decade. Linda, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call and for the ministry here at Relevant Radio. I want to pray today for an elderly man, 75 years old. He's lost in the desert in Nevada. It's been almost 48 hours, and they cannot locate him. The second request is for Michael Harrell, a little 8-year-old boy with an incurable cancer, and his family. Thank you very much.
Linda, thank you. And you didn't mention anything for yourself, so I want to pray for you. Lord, hear Linda's prayers. Hear the prayers of her heart. I pray for this 75-year-old man lost in the desert. And I know this prayer is so efficacious in bringing the lost back and finding those who are in need. And I just pray for this man. I pray for those with cancer, especially children. And pray for a friend of mine, Doug, who's battling some heart issues too. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Is it Doriette that is calling in Downingtown, Pennsylvania? Did I get your name right, Doriette? Hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm praying, asking you to pray for me, for my daughter, Shyla. She's getting ready to go into 9th grade. And I'm just praying that God will just guide her, be with her, lead her, help her get involved, tap into her leadership skills. and focus on her schoolwork and stop following the wrong people and remove everyone that's trying to influence her from her life, including Melissa Collado.
All right. Well, let's pray for her right now. I'm glad you got through. You're part of our family. I'm so glad to pray for you and especially for your daughter. And it's a powerful prayer. You know, turn to St. Monica, too, Doriette. Her feast day is coming up this weekend. And I just call upon all the intercessions of the saints. St. Faustina, you promised that you would intercede in particularly in a special way. Today, in honor of your birthday, I just ask you to really hear this mother's call and bring about a conversion of her daughter and protection for her daughter as well. St. Faustina had a sister, too, that she prayed a lot for, kind of troubled. And she knows the pains of a lot of parents and a lot of siblings. So we'll turn to her now and to our Lord's great mercy as we pray, Eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Jim is in Minnesota. Jim, good afternoon. Thanks for dialing in.
Yes. Yes. Yesterday I was driving. I have a 15-mile one-way route with the truck, and halfway there, I have a 200-yard I have to climb this hill. Okay, never before has the phone ever stayed connected. Never.
Wow.
So yesterday I'm coming up, approaching this area, and I was listening to you, and you were going to do the chaplet, and it cut out. And I said, "Oh Lord, I want to hear them." I didn't go 100 yards. And you came back on all the way up that 200-yard, two-and-a-half-mile climb and never cut out. And it's never, ever done that before. It wouldn't do it today with Drew, with Patrick.
And I want to
pray for my two granddaughters that have a genetic eye disease.
Yeah.
They can't see at night. But this is a miracle.
Yeah. Jim,
miracle.
Thank you. Let's pray for those daughters here. But you know what I love about your prayer? It really illustrates something that's so powerful, that God hears big prayers and small prayers. You know, he does. God hears every prayer that we utter. So often we think something small like that, "Lord, please, I need to hear this." Or, "Lord, you know, help return my lost puppy," or whatever it is. I mean, we think, "Oh, it's not that big of a deal." God can heal everything from cancer. He can raise from the dead, and he can certainly hear those inclinations of our heart. I look back on my own life just in recent months, some of the prayers, the small prayers I've asked God for and how they've come through. So I love that. That's a great prayer, and it just illustrates the power of prayer and how much God wants to give to us, how much he loves us. Lord, I pray right now for Jim, for all of his intentions. I thank you for that testimony. I want to pray for anyone with eye disorders now, anyone with eye disease, anyone who's been visually challenged, anyone who's lost their vision. But I want to pray for those of us that are spiritually blind, that scales of our eyes may be open for those away from the faith. I lift that up. I give to you now on the birthday of St. Faustina, everyone who's on hold with me here, I just bring them all to you. And I want to say a prayer to St. Faustina as we conclude the chaplet and pray this last decade. In diary entry 281 and 1582, the diary, St. Faustina, and this prayer is taken from her diary. "St. Faustina, you told us your mission would continue after your death and that you would not forget us." Diary entry 31. "Our Lord also granted you a great privilege, telling you to distribute graces as you will, to whom you will, and when you will. Relying on this, I ask your intercession for the graces that I need, and especially for all the intentions of those now praying with me. I ask you to hear their prayers, to go before the throne of our merciful Savior, to intercede and allow many miracles to take place today. Help me, above all, to trust in Jesus, as you did, and thus glorify his mercy in every moment of our life. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ,
in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Palestine,
pray for us.
Our Lady Reconciler of Peoples and Nations,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Monica,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
And Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
He's the spiritual director to St. Faustina. I'm very close with her, so we call upon him. And all you angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I see on my call screen Michael from Rocky Hill, Connecticut. Michael, I had relatives in Wethersfield, Connecticut, right down the street from you. Remember that part of the world very, very much. So good to have you. Call back. I'll try to get you on the air tomorrow as well. Stay with me, okay? When we come back, we got a lot to talk about. I just saw a piece on television about how people are cutting their cords, and they're actually getting digital antennas. Did you hear about this? Yeah, Netflix, everything's being canceled. When we come back, Peter Atkinson's going to be joining me. We'll talk about the future of streaming. This should be an interesting conversation. And what about movie theaters? A couple of them are declaring bankruptcy. We'll also get you plugged into something I think will be entertainment for the entire family. That and a whole lot more coming straight up. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Research shows that the quality of shows can influence us in many, many, many ways, shaping our thinking, even our political preferences, and affecting our cognitive abilities. You know, television is one of the things that has killed the attention span. They have shortened the shows to a point where we can't sit as long, so they throw the commercial break in.
You know what's interesting about that too? I notice my kids are more likely to want to watch YouTube, which has 2 to 5 minute videos, versus watch a movie on Disney. Mm. You know, they have to have an attention span to watch an entire movie.
Yep.
But nowadays, they're catering to the 3, 4, 5 year olds with YouTube videos that are short and addictive.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's really a fascinating piece of audio there. You've heard the phrase, you know, you are what you eat. What about what you watch? I think there's some truth in that. You know, I just saw a news story this morning. I was just trying to look for it while that audio was clipping or was playing. It talks about dementia, that there's actually a link to people who are watching television in dementia. It's not the same, let's say, with tablets or computer screens, but television. What is it about television? I want to talk today a little bit about streaming, about the future of movie theaters. I want to talk about a great new series at Relevant Radio's entertainment division's coming out. I want to get you plugged into some stuff that is healthy. If you are what you watch, you are what you listen to, too. And boy, I got something that will enrich you and really edify you as well coming up. But, you know, I was talking a little bit earlier today with a friend, loves Top Gun. You know, if you head out to the movie theaters this weekend, I think you can still see that. They say Top Gun Maverick is awesome. It was released back in May, though, right? May 27. That means it's been in theaters for, what, 3 months now? It's still going strong. It speaks to the film. Paramount produced the film, and they just released it for on-demand viewing on Tuesday. But guess what? Movie theater numbers are still holding up. I don't quite get that. I really thought that they would tank. They'd take a dip. The film was a saving grace for movie theaters. Theaters have been in decline. I think it was Regal that I had heard was declaring bankruptcy. One of the big ones was. But you can understand that. I mean, COVID hit, right? Who's going to the movie theaters? Who's sitting next to people? Nobody, right? Nobody. So they really took a shot, and as more people, you know, are buying these huge TV screens for their homes with surround sound systems, people are thinking, I don't need to go to the movie. I'll stream it, right? I get great audio. I get great visuals. I get a clean bathroom. Why not, right? So attendance at the theater's gone down, and, you know, couple that with streaming services like the ones that Netflix started and a lot of others that are out there, you know, you've got this economic disaster for movie theaters. According to Forbes, Top Gun Maverick, it accounted for about 23% of domestic summer, the summer movie lineup. And that is partially because it earned around $500 million. $500 million, that's more than even the rosiest projections. I mean, whoever thought it'd be that big? But the summer season's down 28% from 2019. The total number of theatrical releases is down 55%. And this change, of course, is due to streaming. Polls between 2018 and 2020 show just a dramatic change in the number of people who preferred the theater to those who preferred streaming. And, you know, this number is beginning to play out. Where's it heading? That's a big question. What's the future of theaters? What's the future of streaming? You know, we're going to see cord cutting as well due to the economy. Peter Atkinson joins me today. He is... he directs the Merry Beggars. One of my colleagues here at the network has been on with me in the past, and I'm going to have him stop by a little more frequently. I want to tap into some of his expertise. The Merry Beggars are launching a great program for your entertainment. It's really family-oriented. It's called On the Night Train. I'm going to get you connected to that as well. So grab a pen and paper. I'll tell you how you can do that. But it's good to have him here with us today. Peter, thank you for your time. Thanks for your hard work.
Drew, it's great to be here.
Always a delight. You know, I've been watching these stories. I actually saw a news piece the other day on, and I don't have the data in front of me. I'm going to pull it from the top of my head, though, so don't hold me on these numbers. You know, as much as movie theaters are in trouble, a lot of people are cutting the cord. Netflix has lost major subscriptions, and as a result of it, you know, a lot of people are just canceling their cable altogether because they can't afford it. What are they doing? They're buying antennas. They're probably digital antennas, but they're buying antennas because you can get over the airwaves. You can still pick up programming, and you can watch some old shows. You can watch your local news. You can watch all this type of stuff. I forget what the number was. Like 8 million people have done this, something like that. But they're projecting, like in the next 10 years or maybe even less than that, 50 million people will cut that cord. So I was a little setback, and those numbers don't hold me to them. It was in that ballpark. I do remember the 50 million number. What's going on? What's happening with theaters? What's happening with streaming? Love your take.
Well, so first of all, it's great to be here, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you, Drew. What I see happening, and something I've been thinking about for years, is something that COVID revealed. So COVID accelerated. People talk about COVID as an acceleration. So a lot of trends that were happening in media were accelerated about 10 years because of COVID. So we all knew that Amazon was going to, you know, shut down our local mom and pop shop instead of going to a local pharmacy for medicine or for your next, you know, pillow, you go to Amazon, right? And that was slowly happening. And then when COVID hit, that trend accelerated about 10 years of their projected change. And I think the same thing has been happening with media. It was interesting, the clip you played right before this segment started about the woman who is saying that her child was didn't even have the attention span for a Disney movie, let alone for cable news networks. And what's been happening is, so I have never ever gotten news from TV. I've never gotten news from cable. I've never gotten news from TV networks. Yeah, I'll watch CNN when it's in the airport because you can't change that channel. And I'll watch, you know, Fox and other shows sometimes. But I almost always get my news and media from my phone, from my computer. My wife and I don't own a TV. And that's my generation. The next generation below me is even taking that trend further. And I think all of this has been accelerated by COVID. TikTok is the most popular app amongst people who are in high school and younger, college and high school. And we talk about Netflix as killing cable TV. Netflix had in 2021, they had 9.6 trillion minutes watched. 9.6 trillion minutes watched, which is just a massive amount.
Yeah.
TikTok had 22.6 trillion minutes watched in 2021.
Gosh.
And the original content budget for Netflix was $17 billion. So they spent $17 billion on original content to generate 9.6 trillion minutes of watching. Netflix had a $200 million creator fund. That's something like 2% of Netflix's budget. And they blew Netflix out of the water and got 22.6 trillion minutes of content watch. How are they doing that? On TikTok, the average time for a video, guess how long the average time for a video is? On Netflix, you know, it's 30 minutes, 40 minutes, yeah. You know, whether it's the British Bake Off or some murder mystery or Riverdale or Who's It's and whatnot. Guess how long the average video on TikTok is?
30 seconds. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about right. 25 seconds.
Wow.
And so people are swiping through these videos and the attention span is just, it's like a drug. These companies, whether they're TikTok, Spotify or Netflix, they have behavioral scientists on staff whose job is to figure out how to keep people hooked. It's, if you look up on Spotify or other companies, you'll see, they have job listings for, you know, advanced neuroscience PhDs because there's so much money in this.
That's absolutely fascinating. I mean, it really is. I just did a program earlier in the week. If you missed it, go to the podcast. You can check it out. We talked a little bit about TikTok, and my guest actually said, look, this is really a spy tool for China, and it's really dangerous. They said you should take it off of your phones because of the access. You so often you agree to whatever the terms are, but it gives them access to all sorts of personal information, access to other devices, and a whole lot of things. But you're right. I mean, every generation has a slightly different proclivity to how they receive their media. I was shocked by the amount of people that are cutting the cord altogether, and I don't know whether that's because, you know, it's they don't want to watch it or they can't afford it. What is it? Is it the fact that the phone, the tablet, is now the source that attention spans are so short that we want TikTok as opposed to a 30-minute news show?
I think it's the value. It's part of it has to do with the value exchange. So Netflix costs $15 a month, and they're delivering you $3 billion worth of content every 3 months. And this is because of cheap capital that's available to them because their valuation is based on them being a tech company, not a TV company. You know, CNN can't spend, Fox News can't spend, Newsmax can't spend $3 billion worth of on content. So part of it is just the value exchange that we're getting for our, you know, $9 a month Amazon Prime Video or Netflix or Apple TV. There's no way that other companies can compete with the amount of content that they're delivering. And it's also completely unsustainable. You mentioned earlier that Netflix was losing subscribers, and CNN tried to launch a streaming service, CNN Plus. It lasted about 2 weeks, and they shut it down because they spent $300 million and only got 100,000 people to sign up for it. So the networks are trying, you know, the cable companies are trying to compete with the streaming companies, but I'm predicting that in the next few years, a lot of the streaming companies are either going to consolidate. You know, Discovery Plus is going to join HBO, or Netflix is going to be bought up by Disney. They have to join forces because they're spending about $5,000 per U.S. household on their content. Yeah. And there's no way that they can charge that amount of money per household to actually make it back.
My guest today, Peter Atkinson. And Peter, when we come back, I want to talk to you also about a project you're working on. And I love this. We talk about, you know, as we said, you know, you are what you eat, you are what you consume visually. I think you're the same way in terms of what you listen to. There's a wonderful program soon to be released here from Relevant Radio's new media entertainment division, and it's something that you can listen to anytime you want, but I think it's a great thing to do with the family. I'll fill you in when I return.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Connecting you with the big guy upstairs. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, bridge the gap between faith and life. That's what we're talking with Peter Atkinson about today, with some really great quality programming. Hey, a quick programming note before we jump back into our conversation. I'm going to be in the Twin Cities on September 15th for Relevant Radio's annual Christ Brings Hope Banquet. I don't know if you're in the area. If you happen to be in that part of the world, I invite you to join me. I'm going to be with Timory and Father Simon and Glenn Leverance. Father Rocky, I'm sure, will probably be there. And we'll be at the JW Marriott at the Mall of America. It's always a fun evening. It's a lot of fun. So to register, you can find more information by going to relevantradio.com. Click on the events tab for Minnesota. I know tickets are going pretty fast. I was just notified of this the other day that hey, Drew, why don't you let everybody know you're going to be there? So just getting you up to speed. Love to see you. All right, it'll be a fun night as always. Peter, good to have you back. And I've been hearing your ads run on the air for On the Night Train. And it really is, I've had a sneak peek. I just think it's a fantastic production. What you did with A Christmas Carol, that was fantastic. And what is in store in the days ahead, we'll take people through the weeks ahead. Fill everyone in. I know the Merry Beggars is now part of the Relevant Radio Entertainment Division. I know you've been working long and hard. Just to give Peter a little bit of props, I hear he's one of the first ones in the building and one of the last ones to leave. That's how hard he works. So, you know, that means good quality stuff, and I appreciate it, Peter. So fill us in on the night train. Tell everyone what was coming, what they can expect, why they should subscribe, and who it's appropriate for.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's when you have a dream job, you never work a day in your life. I'm just incredibly, incredibly grateful for Father Rocky's vision in bringing the Merry Beggars to be the entertainment division, because, you know, we talk about TikTok consuming everyone's attention and forming the next generation. And you can't spend more than 5 minutes on TikTok without seeing something that is just wildly inappropriate. I mean, just so much of the media that is out there is undermining the faith that people are trying to build in their homes. So the mission of the Merry Beggars is to support parents and families and people to build up a culture of faith and virtue in their homes. It's, you know, I've talked to a lot of our audience members, and the mothers of young kids especially would talk to me about how hard it is to find media that their children can listen to, and they can go, they don't have to listen to it ahead of time because they trust that it's good content, and they don't have to be in the same room because they don't have to be afraid that their kids are going to click over to some inappropriate content either. And we really think that we've created an incredible story that's going to serve families throughout the United States with our next series, On the Night Train. We've been working on it for about 2 years. We've had over 40 people working on this production and just bringing this story to life. It's pretty epic. You know, A Christmas Carol was a good nostalgic story about Christmas. It's a beautiful story. It never gets old. On the Night Train is a little bit different. It's more of an adventure. It's an epic story that follows two young kids across America. So we think it'll be high adventure, high energy, full of fun, wacky, zany characters, and really good writing. Really, really good story.
So was this your brainchild? Did you write this? Or, you know, how did the story come to? I mean, because, look, it's a massive work. I mean, we're talking, what, 26 weeks? How many weeks will – how many episodes are we
there? There are 21 episodes, 21. And the final script was around 1,500 pages long.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
More than a few term papers.
You're not kidding. And it took 2 years to put all this together. I know you're in production. We should talk a little bit behind the scenes, too, because I think it's kind of cool how it all gets put together. But before we do, I mean – was it you who wrote this, or was it a collaboration? How did all this come together? That's a lot of episodes.
So one of the things that we do in the Mary Baggers is we try and find and identify really good talent throughout the United States, really good talent who's, you know, Catholic or Christian, and young or old, you know, people who have been in the industry for 10 years and people who are, you know, just graduating college. And one of the talents that we found was a young woman by the name of Kylie Hatch, and she's comes from a big Catholic family, and she wrote a 10-minute play for me back in 2020, I believe. And, you know, it was a good 10-minute play, and we started talking, and I asked her to pitch me a few different ideas, and we landed on this idea of a train journey across the United States. One of the reasons is because the sound design around trains is just so beautiful. It's so much fun to listen to that old mechanical steam train. So we landed on that concept, and then we spent months throwing ideas back and forth. We both love, you know, detective stories and mysteries and Sherlock Holmes. And we know that people love Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew and those sort of classic adventures. And so we landed on the setting of the train. We landed on the genre of the detective story and the high adventure. And then we just started developing it over time from there. It was a real collaboration. She's a wonderful writer, and it was a real joy to work with her.
So, Peter, let's do some of the basics here, too, just for people who, you know, I know some people had some issues last year, maybe with the Christmas Carol, and I know we streamlined everything this time. It's pretty easy to access. If I want to listen to this, or I want my family or friends to do it, how do I explain it? How do we do it? How do we sign up? How do we get the content? And what will that experience be like?
So the easiest thing to do right now is on the Relevant Radio app and on Relevant Radio website, there are banners for the Night Train. And if you click through to there, you'll be able to find our website, which is onthenighttrain.com. And there you can put your email in, and that's it. As soon as the episodes start being released, we'll send you an email with a link to listen to the episodes. But you're right. So for the last production of A Christmas Carol, we had this sort of membership model where you created an account and listened, and we got rid of all of that to make it much, much easier to listen to. So if you listen to, if you have the Relevant Radio app, the Night Train episodes will be available on the Relevant Radio app under the on-demand shows in the left-hand menu. If you get your podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Alexa, wherever, then all of our episodes will be available on there. They'll be on YouTube as well. And you can find links to all of that on our website at onthenighttrain.com. And that's going to be the hub. There's no passwords to remember, no nothing beyond listening and enjoying the show.
That's so awesome. I think the easier you make it, the better. And I think people are going to love it. I would encourage people also to share this with their parishes, with their schools, with their friends, with their family. Get everybody plugged in. And I always say this, and I'll say it again just because I'm a production guy. You remind me a lot of myself when I was your age. And I was doing television production at the time, doing documentary work. And I did the same thing. I was in edit bays and writing scripts and on location from the time I woke up to I took my last breath, and I loved every second of it. It wasn't work. It was actually a joy.
Exactly. You wouldn't trade that time for anything.
No, I loved it. I'm telling you, it was absolutely joy. I was disappointed when God shut it all down and led me to radio. I never wanted to do this, but I could not be happier. God has a mission. Hey, so first episode coming up, right? And when will that be? And when should people get signed up?
Yeah, absolutely. So people can get signed up right now at onthenighttrain.com. You can access that through the Relevant Radio website or the Relevant Radio app. And it's going to come out on Sunday, the 11th of September, 6 p.m. Central. We're going to have new episodes every Sunday, 6 p.m. Central. And you can access on anywhere. And you said earlier to get families and schooling groups involved, and I'll second that. We're in conversations with a lot of schools and homeschooling groups. Cool. This series is designed so that families and schools and communities can listen together, try and solve the mystery before anyone else can, and really enjoy it as a community.
That's so great. We're about 2 weeks away from launch. I'm excited about it. I really am. So I'll be filling people in more. We'll put a link up too. Maybe Maggie, you can do that for Peter's websites to make it easier for anyone in their car right now who's streaming. You'll find us on Twitter as well. Peter, thank you. Keep up your good work.
Thanks so much,
Drew.
We'll
catch up soon. That's Peter
Atkinson. Awesome. God bless.
God bless you. I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you. Oh, no, I'm not. I got another hour ahead. I'm looking at my clock. I thought I'm rapping. Stay with me. When I come back, we will change gears. Boy, last time Peter was on, I think he was on it in my last segment. Stay with me. News and headlines are straight ahead. I'll be back.